Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lamo.
In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming into the Gampa. And if you've never been here before, I'd just like to let you know that he'll be come over, stand in front of the altar, face the altar, and then he'll do some prostrations. So when he comes in, if you please stand out of respect for him and his teachings. And then if you feel comfortable, you can prostrate along with us. Or you can just remain standing. It doesn't matter. It's just a practice that we do. We'll be saying some prayers in the gold prayer book. If you don't have a gold prayer book, if you have a binder, and it's behind your chair, then, most of the prayers are on the first sheet that says Kadampa Center prayers, either on the front of the sheet or the back of the sheet. Otherwise, I will prompt you with the page numbers. And let's see, I think the first one is on page 183 in here. Geshe-la encourages people to walk around the stupa and turn the prayer wheels. It's a great form of purification practice and practice to accumulate merit. Just by walking around the stupa outside, it's incredibly, because of the Dharmakaya relics that are in the and other holy objects that are inside the stupa. They are primary relics such as seeing the bones of Shakyamuni Buddha or his pearl bones or his, for example, if somehow they found a piece of his cloth of his clothes or something like that. Those are secondary relics. So that's why they're very, very powerful. They're also prayer wheels going to and from the stupa, and also when you come into this room, there's also prayer wheels to the left to spin. And so when you spin that, you get the you accumulate the merit of saying all the mantras that are inside the prayer wheels. So it's a very great practice. Today you may see that this table here, it has 21 offering sets of offering bowls, water bowls, and this is from the Tara practice that we did last night. So that's what that is. And then afterwards, we will be taking it down and passing out the offerings if anyone is interested. But we left it on so that you would get the merit of seeing the water bowls and from the positive energy that we created from doing the practice. So for the past several Sundays, Geshe-la has been inviting all of us to participate in this class discussion, either breaking out into small groups or just remaining where you are and just volunteering comments and so forth. So when he does, if you would please wait for the handheld mic and put the mic almost touching your lips, very, very close. Otherwise, it doesn't pick up the sound. And there are people streaming. The teachings are being recorded. So it doesn't pick up on the tape unless you hear it. You don't have to worry because the camera is facing Geshe-la, or maybe yesterday it was like in between. So they can't see you. So you don't have to worry about being found out or anything. I think that's about it. Oh, if you have cell phones, if you please turn them off or put them on mute so as not to disturb the teachings. I think, did we have some announcements?
Well, we have some, but they'll be at the end.
Oh, at the end? Okay. All right. So while we're waiting, I'd like to read the prayer list. Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. For all those killed by others or by their own hands. Tom Fackenthal, Michael Fanfarillo, Adeline Corpy, Christy White, Allie Wiesel, V. Dindi the cat, Bodhi the mouse, Moni the turtle, Om Chihop the turtle, Petal the dog, Shanti the mouse, Suki the kitty. Job search. Roseanne Barona, Travis Boone, Brian and Brandy, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Bruce Miller, Lindsay Piatti, Sarai, Pooja Shah, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabdi Lama Sompa Rinpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Venerable Gelton, Venerable Cherky Lamo, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, Jerry Anderson and family, Jorge Aurelio, Jim Barnes, Carl Barnett, Luce and Narcis Barona Sr., Susie Baum, Allie Burke, Yuki Burrows, S.C., Catherine Paisley Davis, Pam DeLacy, Ted Domi, Tashi Droma, family of Michael Fanfarillo, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Heather Hall, and family. Christina Harrison, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, Dallin Sue Johnson, Barry Judge, Helen Kasanoff, family of Adeline Corpy, Jonathan Kramer, Shandy and Kurt Latimer, Kim Lillig, Mary Lojek, Ina Lovelace, R.M., Georgia McDonald and family, Leonard Macklis, Wilbert Martin, Martin Massenberg, family and relatives of Susan McClure, Elvia Mahey and family, Bruce Miller, David Muller, Richard and Daniel Morrison, Audrey Murphy, Peter Murphy, Evan Merlin family, Jessica Nunley, Marie Oliver, Jay Pondia, Patty Pondia, Sheila Parker, Lindsay Piatti, Richard Potter and family, Renee Reyna and Rivers, James Rowan and Teresa Creighton, Ralph Rumley, Katie Ruffle and her family, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Ronnie Schumann and family, Emily Smith, Nancy Sorbet, Carolyn Satoris, Opsan Tuptim, Dion Washington, family of Christy White, Shay Wokowicki, Chloe Wormser, Marguerite Young, Robert Yergel, Dorja and Cadro the pigs, Fanny the dog, Luna and Draco the dogs, Padme Tara and Padme Solomon the cats. In the Gold Prayer Book, please turn to page 183, and we'll chant the Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra between the two lines toward the bottom of the page. 1183 1183 1183 Now turn to page 34, and we'll read the four immeasurables in English one time, 34 and 35. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn the page to 37. And we'll chant the Four Immeasurables chanting version. And in the white binder, we're just going to chant the words by the music notes one time. Sen chen tam che de wa dong de we yu dong den par chu chi Yagi Yu Dang De Wa Ju.
dunya nete dewa dami je warjuci nie.
Okay, now let's chant Chen Rezig's mantra 8 times and then Green Tower's mantra 7 times, keeping in mind the people on the prayer list that I just read.
Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha, 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Okay, the children are welcome to go to their classes.
So, we'll begin with a short meditation. Please, would you mind take 1 minute to introduce to yourself each other? Thank you very much. First, let me read this one question. So I will highly encourage you to put some questions here. So if you have questions, so I'd be happy to try, you know. So question, this is a very good question, but you know, this is pretty much based on the materials. Answer is pretty much based on the materials. So it's quite easy to answer, but very good. So this is question about the mantra. So mantra, we say like Shakyamuni Buddha mantra. We say chant that or Muni Muni Mama. So what does this mantra mean? Deyata, this is like, this is not Pali, it's like Sanskrit word. So all the mantra in Tibetan Buddhism, also Tibetan, we chant in Sanskrit. So that's why all the mantra is written in Sanskrit. So then there will be explanation in Tibetan language. There will be, you know, like kind of a like footnote of the mantra. So Deyata means likewise. Or you remember how sometimes they translate Deyata? Like this.
That is what said.
That is what said. Okay. Oh, yeah. Om, you know, Om. So it looks like Tibetan letters like this. Om. So basically, in Sanskrit it looks a little bit different, but this is Tibetan alphabet. You know, that's how the Om looks like. There's three letter stacks. First, second, third. In Sanskrit, it looks a little bit different. So. Anyway, probably the same meaning. Om means there's like three, it's not really letter, like three, I'm not sure what to say.
Strokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Strokes.
I'm not sure, like syllable.
Sounds, yes.
Yeah, probably sounds, that's much better, sounds, yeah. Om, you know, Ma become Om. There are three syllables, A, U, Ma, you know, then become Om. A symbol, like when you say Om, also in yoga practice, when you say Om, according to the scriptures, even just saying the word Om, there's so much benefit. It means you bring a lot of positive energy. So, technical term is like merit, virtue. You know, because mantra is like the sacred word. People who created the mantra, they put so much energy into that mantra. They invest so much, I say, their intentions. Well-being of the sentient beings, you know, this all the mantra is supposed to know. How to, the definition of the mantra is to protect your mind. Protect ye job, protect your mind. When you say the mantra, it's supposed to protect your mind. From what? From negative thought. So that's the last thing that we need. No, we don't need any of those negative thoughts. No, this is like mental suffering. It's nothing to do with religion, it's just mental suffering. If we start to think something negative, it doesn't benefit us. No, it doesn't benefit. There's no benefit for health. There's no benefit for our life. There's no benefit for other people. That's why. No, the negative thought, that's the last thing that we need. We don't need any of those. So, so keep that in your mind. So when you recite the mantra, so the mantra, meaning of the mantra is something, you know, like sacred. Word is sacred. Meaning is sacred. That's how you, it protects your mind. Huh? So Om means, you know, Ah, U, Ma. Ah symbolize body. U symbolize speech. Ma symbolize heart, mind. So body, speech, mind. When you say Om, you're saying body, speech, mind. Hoping that your body, speech, mind become pure as Buddha's body, speech, mind. Means like free from all the disturbing thoughts. You know, there will be no more disturbing thought because you are liberated. So then Om say, Om, you're hoping that my body, spirit, mind become pure as. Muni means, you know, like capable, has a Muni. Tuba means like, you know, as you have battled with the disturbing thought, then you win. Tuba, you know. Oh, muni means, again, how you say it in English, how you say it? Victory, from where? From disturbing thought. Victory. Maha, great, you know, great victory, not just victory, great victory. Muni, then you say, muni. Soha. Soha is like that. Huh?
Or Amen, I don't know.
Huh? What is Amen?
May it be so.
So be it.
Yeah. Like that. Oh. Is it clear now? It's clear? Om Bodhis is my Muni. No. So Shakyamuni Buddha is the who discovered the Buddhist path. Somebody who meditated 6 years solid meditation under the Bodhi trees. Not just 5 minutes, 6 years solid meditation under the Bodhi trees. That's how he liberated himself from the disturbing thought. So when you look at the image, you know, like you see the whole ribs, you know, he just meditating under the Bodhi trees. great philosopher, great thinker, and so much contributed, so much, you know, materials, how to improve our mind, and how to liberate ourselves from disturbing thought. And he, you know, contributed, you know, greatly contributed, you know, information how to do that, you know, so that's why there's all these books written by, most of them written by, you know, or not written by, taught by Buddha, then probably took a note by his students. That's the meaning of the mantra. They are the Muni Muni Mahamuni. So, so important is mantra is not like sometimes you hear, it's not like one word you say again, then become mantra. It's not like that. Mantra is sacred word. No, this meaning of the mantra is to protect your mind. Okay, that's the definition of mantra. Huh? So now maybe explain short meditations. So, if you don't mind, any of you like first time here to meditating? Huh? Oh yeah. So I'll explain you, so most of probably you know, most of you know, so I'll just explain simple 9-round breathing meditation, okay? If you are interested, then please, you know, pay a little more attention, because most of the people, they heard this meditation probably more than 1,000 times. You are welcome to take short nap. Actually, that's the best meditation, you know. Sleep is the best meditation, sleep. Nine round breathing meditation, so long row gutu, long energy, row means no longer useful. It's all become useless. It's like wasted. That energy been wasted. It's called long roll, no long roll. Gu is nine. Nine refers to this, you know, nine round breathing meditation. Number nine refers to nine round breathing meditation. Long roll. Gu is nine. Long energy, roll means rest. No longer useful. Gu nine refers to this nine set of breathing. Long roll, gu. Chup is set. Set. Cell means eliminated. Eliminate. So through this nine round breathing meditations, what are we trying to accomplish? We are trying to eliminate the wasted energy. So first you use your left hand, this finger. Any form of breathing meditations is required to make sure that we sit straight. No? Straight. No? So this finger then block your left nostril. Inhale from right nostril, long, slow. Then same finger block. Okay, maybe I'm too fast. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have no patience when it's come down to meditation. The purpose of meditation is to gain patience. Just joking. So we'll start all over again. So left finger, block left nostril. Inhale, long, slow. Then same finger, then block left, then exhale. And do this three times, okay? So we'll do this three times, okay? The first set. Again. Again. So that's the first set. Now the second, maybe right hand, same finger, and below the right nostril, inhale long, slow from left nostril. Again. So now from the both nostril, inhale, exhale, three times, okay? All the way in and all the way out. So this is called nine round breathing meditation. So for the sake of knowledge, it is good to learn how to do meditations, and not just meditations, you know, to learn some instructions that's been taught thousands of years ago. It's not like I didn't make this up last night. I just sharing with you. It's already taught a long time ago and been tested and produced result. If you follow that kind of instructions, more likely produce some result. So then from your side, at least something to feel good about, that you are passing down some instructions that has been originated thousands of years ago. So then, you know, then whether you do meditation or not, that's up to individuals, you know. So then question is, why this nine round breathing meditation is important? It's important because, you know, wasted energy, where it goes, it doesn't go to, you know, somebody else's house. It goes to our channel. You know, according to the Vajrayana teachings, we have 72,000 channels located in our body. 72,000 channels. Because of that, channel, energy, chakras, we, all the movement, blinks, everything, you know, is done based on, according to the Vajrayana teachings. Chakras, channels, energies, that's how all the movements has been created, you know, by those things. You know? So now, wasted energy is called lung roll. No? Why is it important to get rid of that? Because it goes to our energy, in our channels, so then it'll get stuck there. If you wonder, show you the text, but it's in Tibetan. I can show you. So then, you know, there's energy, whether it's like useful energy or wasted energy, it goes through our channels, then it gets, you know, stuck. So it can cause physical discomfort. Yeah, the mic, please mic.
So this wasted energy you were saying, were you saying that's negative energy? Is that anything to do with negativity?
Not necessarily negative. It shouldn't be called negative. It's just, you know, it's not useful. It's just, you know, like I say, useful energy means it contribute to physical comfort and also contribute to mental comfort. So when we start to concentrate, anything, you know, anything, when we start to focus, that's the way to create useful energy. When our mind gets shattered, same time thinking 100 different objects, that's how the energy been like weak. Or you can say weak or waste, no longer useful, it get weak. So that every thought, you know, every thought that comes with energy, every thought is like, energy is like horse. That every thought rides on that, whether it's like positive or negative. Then of course the negative thought, that brings negative energy. You know, we have 100 different thoughts, not necessarily all of them are negative, you know. Or thinking about like, oh, maybe what I'm going to eat for breakfast, that's not negative, it's just thoughts. No, so should I eat bread or should I eat, you know, some little bit piece of cake or maybe it's just thought, it's not negative or positive. So that kind of thing, you know, like not being mindful, so that the energy get weak. Okay? So the waste doesn't mean negative. It's not beneficial. It's not beneficial. Okay. Is it clear?
I guess the way I'm understanding what you're saying is energy that would cause thoughts to not be mindful or for the mind to be scattered, trying to think several things at the same time but can't really come to a conclusion or can't really focus on one thing, that would be considered weak energy or wasted energy.
Yeah,
it's not useful.
Yeah, that energy, that's like, say, 10 different thoughts. Each thought comes with energy. No, not that each thought comes with, there's 10 energy, 10 different energies. These are not really like, put it together, it's just kind of like shatter. Shatter? Oh, I'm sorry, shatter. Scatter. Scatter. Oh yeah, scatter. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I learn language that nobody understands. I don't know how I learn. Scatter, with no shatter, scatter. So there is no energy, is not like bind, combined. So it's not one, it's like many. So that's why it gets kind of weak energy. So this is the technique, how to get rid of them, okay, how to get rid of them. Because it's important to get rid of, like, this, you know, weak energy or wasted energy, because it causes physical discomfort. Then it contributes to mental discomfort. Then it's not good, you know. That's why. So the 9-round breathing meditation is the technique they use how to get rid of them. Or you can, you know, visualize, when you inhale, you can visualize the, you can visualize inhaling the positive, you know, so now, energy is kind of like, I don't know what other words that I can use in English, but energy, you know, like, oh, people talk, oh, in this room there's not good energy. If that room is not occupied by thought means beings. You can't really talk about good energy or bad energy, because there will be no energy, right? When you're thinking about energy, that like comes with a thought. So then energy is possessed by tree, water element, earth element, fire element, wind element, that's like a little bit different. No, so that's different. But in Tibetan we have different words, but in our English that's, we use the same word, energy. we say chu means, you know, that chu, that tree has chu, the earth has chu, fire has, we call chu. I'm not sure how to say it in English, but you know, but saying in Tibetan is not really helpful. So anyway, so not go there. So this 9-round breathing meditation is how to eliminate, you know, eliminate this energy that is no longer useful, they're stuck in our channels, then how to get rid of them, then you do 9-round breathing meditation. So 9-round breathing meditation. And then, you know, like meditation is something that we should do, not just one time, do it again and again, you know, then there's more you do, more you get benefit. And no need to say any prayer, you just sit down, you know. Of course, every meditation begin with positive thought. You can meditate if your mind's been disturbed, you can meditate. Or you have to have neutral thought, or you have to have positive thought. That's how meditation begins. Similarly, every Tibetan text begin with the Sanskrit. Right? They use the example, you know, the similarly all the meditation begin with positive thought. 9-round breathing meditation. So therefore it's very, very important to learn how to concentrate, focus. In order to focus, you have to have image, mental image. You have to have some object to concentrate. People use color, different things. You can use your own breath, and you can use your own mind. That's more difficult. And people who, maybe some of you, it varies person to person. Some people it's easy to focus on color. Some people it's easy to focus on wind. Some of you might find out it'd be easier to focus on your own mind. According to the teachings, the mind doesn't have shape and color, so they come up with some shape, then they concentrate, then they think, oh, that is my mind. Because mind has no shape and color, that's how you concentrate on mind, you know. Otherwise, so difficult. Because we are very visual, so it's hard to concentrate. So, in the beginning of the class, you know, I really don't want to interrupt, you know, I don't want to minimize the time of meditation because we have limited time here. So then, you know, I just said, okay, we will meditate. The short meditations. So I'm like assuming that, you know, you know how to meditate. You know? There will be, you know, like, you can do breathing meditation, you can do analytical meditation, you can do review meditations, if you have something to review, some kind of materials to review, then your mind is, you know, like, concentrate on that instructions, then you go, you know, like, step by step, step by step. Then outside noise, you know, does not much, does have very little, has impact. Because you are not really, you are thinking, but you are not thinking about the noise. You are not going to carry out by noise that you hear, because you are kind of concentrated on the instructions. So that's called review meditations, analytical meditation. There are a number of meditations you can do. So nine round breathing meditation is one of them. Okay. So then, to make the energy useful, what we do, we concentrate. There's something you can do. It's not like something you cannot do. We all can do. You know, it's only a matter of time, you know, how long. For a beginner, you shouldn't worry about the time. Just concentrate. In like 30 seconds, 1 minute, that's very good. No, stop. Then do it again, 1 minute. Then you become better and better and better, you know. Same like driving. First you are full of nervous, you know, you don't know how to drive. Now you become so familiar, you can easily drive, you gain confidence. Same here, you know. As I said before, you know, first time when I came here 17 years ago, and some of the center member teaching me how to type. I never saw a computer in my life. First time, you know, like, so here, JMJ, something like that. Then look, how many times that person pointed where the J, I couldn't find. So then, you know, then the goal is to type without looking at the keyboard. That seems like impossible. There's no will to learn. There's no will to learn, you know. So now, it's like a piece of cake. No, I can't type, not means I type all the time, but I don't type all the time, but no, easy to find key. So the next time the new monks come from India, so what, they have like desire to learn, then when you teach, you know, there is here, so then you have no patience. Then you think, oh, how come there you don't see J, I pointed here, it's right here. Why are you looking here? It's here. Instead of looking there, no, it's here. Then that's how I learn. That's how I learn, I forget. Now I have no patience to teach that person, no? If you make yourself familiar, there's nothing that doesn't become familiar. Okay? So then, when you inhale, you know, as I said, I'm not sure what words in English I should use. All the positive energy they possess by earth element, water element, you know, all the everything that you can just visualize. You are inhaling all the positive energy. When you exhale, then you just visualize all this negative energy or like energy that is no longer useful. You can just visualize exhales, all of them. Okay. Physical sicknesses, mental discomfort, all of them, you can just exhale. Then it will benefit, you know. As I said many times, what we think is really matter. That's how the mental happiness has been produced, by thinking, not by just eating, you know, like chocolate chip cookie from Whole Foods. And by thinking, that's how the mental happiness has been produced, by thinking. So, and I would like to read here maybe one paragraph, then after that maybe some discussion. So, important discussions. you know, nowadays you hear this lot of, you know, like last couple of weeks, you know, all kind of, you know, like heartbreaking news here, there, or because this is, you know, this is like Shanti Deva's books. It's been written in around 8th century or long time ago. You know, one of the Indian masters composed this book called Shanti Deva Shivala. So this is the source of all the teachings, how to transform our mind. This is the source of all the books. So, so because of my English, I need to look at this in the translation. Kaldeshius, you know, tell me what you, Kaldeshius, you know, tell me what you feel, so, why be unhappy about something? So why be unhappy about something if it can be remedy? R-E-M-E-D-I-E-D. Remedy. You understand? Kaldeshius, you know, tell me what you feel, so. Why be unhappy about something if it can be remedy. And the second line, and what is the use of being unhappy about something if it cannot be remedy? Make sense? So, is this the only way to say remedy or another alternative word?
Change.
Fixed. Now it's about the business about fixing, not fixing. Yeah, of course, you like to fix everything. I like to fix everything, but we can't. Why? There's reason. So that's the one I would like to see. Kaldeshius, tell me, there's one, then another one, then Sinji Mizin Namwashin Tedashun Jiyumila, to the Sindhi Chujun of Dadi Dadi Chum Dadas. Unruly beings are as unlimited as space. Sounds familiar? They cannot possibly all be overcome. That's the translation. So, however, so if I overcome the thought of anger alone, this will be the equivalent to vanquishing all force. Vanquishing. Am I pronounced correctly? Yes. Vanquishing all foes. Yeah, there are so many words. All foes. So now the question that I want you to discuss or maybe say something, why we have anger? Why we just all have bodhicitta? Bodhicitta means altruistic attitude. Why we have anger? Why? Something to think about, okay? So now the second line here. Where would I possibly find enough leather with which to cover the surface of the earth? It's not just earth, you know. It's almost like earth that's filled with the foam. Thorn. Where would I possibly find enough leather with which to cover the surface of the earth? Yet, wearing a leather just on the sole of my shoe That refers to your mind. Okay? Yet wearing the leather just on the sole of my shoe is equivalent to covering the earth with it. Make sense? Is it clear? Yeah. So, as I said before, meditation is all about how to protect our mind. That's very important. Important for the well-being of other people, also important for the well-being of one's own well-being to protect. So therefore, the purpose. I always said that the purpose of the meditation is to reduce and minimize disturbing thought. When you're sitting down, if you learn whatever ways, it doesn't have to be Buddhist way, whatever ways you can think of, eliminate or reduce or minimize disturbing thought, whatever ways. You know, that's good. Then you are doing good meditation. You are doing productive meditation. So not like me, you know, when I do my meditations, you know. So I'm not now. I used to think, oh, Geshe Sambo is the one who's like destroying all my happiness. he's my roommate, you know, Geshe Sambo. Now he's gone. He's gone last almost month. He's in Tibet now. He's in Tibet. And by myself. Truths are definitely 100% true. Still. You know, but it contributes, you know, so I'm like in my prayer room, yeah, what I'm doing there, I'm doing prayer, you know, so, I'm saying this, like, prayer means, you know, this all the positive word I've been saying, and all of a sudden the Geshe Sambo, this is just an example, all of a sudden the Geshe Sambo comes, and there's, you know, right next to my prayer room, there's small tiny living room there. And he comes, you know, I always think, oh, I am much, much better than Geshe Sangha when it comes down to mindfulness. I think, not just thing I believe, you know, I'm more mindful than he, he's like, I think he's like just mess. You know? So I always had that thought, I mean, you know, I'm more careful, mindful, you know, where things goes, you know. No, so how much truth in there, I don't know. So sitting there in my prayer hall, I'm saying some prayer to Geshe Sambo comes, and I kind of know what he's going to do. Kind of guess, you know. He comes, he turns on the light, and probably he's doing something there, you know. And he goes away, and he forgot to turn off the light. Then my real meditation began. So not like that, no. So day before yesterday, you know, downstairs I'm doing my prayers, my rosary, I'm walking around. I have like two persimmon trees in my backyard. Both of them producing a lot of fruit, which I'm quite attached. I'm doing my prayer downstairs, you know, like I'm saying some mantras supposed to protect my mind. All of a sudden I saw something moving, and look, there's one squirrel. Oh. Now there's a big piece of fruit. I just like, it's not like all the fruit from the trees, it's just one fruit. You know, the door is locked, so the good thing I didn't chase the squirrel away. Then I slowly changed my mind. You know, but you know, in the initial reaction it's like, like, how come that I've been feeding you all these times, how come that you're taking my fruit? It is now what you can do. Fruit has already been taken. It's in his mouth. If you chase that squirrel is going to throw this fruit, that fruit is not going to be ripened. It doesn't go back to the trees. I don't think like that, you know, so that's just, this is my fruit. How dare you are taking my fruit? I've been feeding you there all the time. So they're like, oh, that's like, you know, slow down. So, but at least I didn't chase the squirrel. I didn't open the door, I didn't chase, I just took some time. It's just one fruit. The squirrel, you know. There's a problem between me and fruit, squirrel, the three of us. So then I just sit there and leave it. So, yeah. Not happy to let it go. Not very excited to let it go. Not very, very happy to let it go, but you know, thought for a little bit, but then I say, okay. Just, you know, didn't say so. That's an example, you know. When we desperately need some help, we don't have any help, you know. So they say, you know, like, when the weather is nice, you know, so your belly is full, everything is going well, then you appear as the wonderful practitioners. Wonderful practitioners. When this goes wrong, there's no practice. So, same, you know, we all struggle. You, me, we all struggle, but, you know, slowly, you know, we improve slowly. It takes time to slowly improve. You know? So, every day. So, now, I just, you know, want to hear from you why we have anger. Not just anger. Why we have all these disturbing thoughts? Why? So there's something, you know, I'd like to hear. So to something to discuss, okay? maybe would you like to discuss? Why? Why? It's not like, oh, there's no answer. There is answer. I just want to, there, you know, so much been said. In the Buddhist scriptures, there's so much been said. I just wondering and also very, very, very interested to hear from you why. Yeah. So then I'll stop my Mickey Mouse blah blah here. Yeah. Oh yeah. So maybe, yeah, like that, or maybe we can divide the group. It's up to you. We can divide the group, or you can just, so then maybe if somebody wants to eat, yeah. Just,
okay. I think we have so much disturbing thought is because we have to deal with others. Mm-hmm. When I go out, since I was a child, I want to be nice to others, and I think everybody is nice to me. But people are saying, you can't trust people.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to trust people, but I found out recently you have to make choices on who you can trust, who you can't. And those people will provide a lot of disturbing things in your mind. One question I had was, how do you calm your mind if you're in physical or mental pain so much that it's very hard to even start the meditation?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a lot of experience with anger in my life. I've meditated on it a lot, and I think some of the teachings have definitely helped me in readings that I've done. So pretty much most of the time that I have anger, it's driven by fear, lots of delusions of fear, and that's really what drives me, and that comes out sideways in anger. And under that, the root delusion is ignorance. So when I really pull it apart, I kind of take it down, I can really see the components that make up the anger. And it's usually not just anger by itself. It's always driven by fear and ignorance underneath it, and the delusions that I have about the way things should be, what I should get, what I shouldn't get, what I should have. So all of these things that I think and all these expectations that I have drives the ignorance, which then drives the fear, which drives the anger. And that's just from personal experience. Thanks.
Okay. Okay.
I think some of it, the good and the bad, comes from the discrepancy between what we think is going on, if what we see going on, and what's actually going on. And so I'll be trying to help someone like you were describing with the keyboard, and you're trying to help someone, you're trying to help them see what you see so that they can use it the way that you use it. And it's frustrating when they don't see it that way, when there's a difference between the way that you think, oh, it's easy, it's right there, there it is, I point at it, you look at it, and you see it. But really, there's so much more going on, and when it's not as easy as pointing to it, and then they see it and understand it, it causes some discomfort.
Mm, yeah.
I have a question and a suspicion more than I have any kind of answer. Where's anger, Geshe-la? Is it here, or is it in the future, or is it in the past? And if I can be here, is there anger here?
Any contributions?
I wanted to say that from like what I'm hearing and from like my experiences, anger most likely comes from either ignorance or ego. Because ignorance, you don't know what another person is thinking. That's maybe why they can't see what you see, and so you get frustrated. Or maybe when things don't go your way, that's the ego. Things don't go your way, you get frustrated, and you want to make them go how you want them to be. And it's not something that you can control most of the time. It's not something that you can understand unless you go into another person's shoes or another situation. And sometimes you're just not going to understand it. And it's accepting the fact that it's not all about you, and you're just going to have to, you know, kind of have to work with what you got.
One second. Can maybe I, the gentleman, one second. So can I say something, please? Very, very good question. Very profound questions. No, very profound questions. So anger is a thought. It's a thought. Do you agree with me? Anger is a mind. Do you agree? It's a mind, right? It's like mind. It's like awareness. Anger is like awareness. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
So we have no tendency. Tendency is from the past. It's here. If we don't liberate ourselves from anger, it's going to be in the future, the tendency. So when we have anger, when we get angry, we have anger. Right? You know, when you are eating cheesecake, you know, smiling, talking nice, we don't have anger, but we have tendency. Tendency? Is it clear? Tendency. We have tendency. Huh? So it's just, you know, it's like kind of like sleeping. It's ready to wake up. It's ready to, it doesn't require an atom bomb to wake it up. It's there. It's ready to wake up any circumstance, but that's called tendency. Or tendency, or called seed, or tendency, it's been there in the past, that's why it's here. It's not in the past, it will be not here. In this life, if you manage to eradicate the anger, so there will be no seed, prophecy, there will be no anger in the future. Make sense?
Is this not the future and the past?
This is now present.
And where do the future and the past come from?
Generally speaking, I think there's no past, there's no future. You can talk about past and future based on something. Otherwise, if you just talk, okay, we say three times past, future, present, but only thing is there is present. There's no really past, there's no really future. But it's past based on something, past based on future based on something.
So if there is no past and there is no future, does anger exist now?
Tendency. But when you get angry, then anger is there.
The potential.
Yeah, exactly. Potential. Yeah, potential is there. Potentials.
Why?
Yeah. Well, that's why I want to hear from you. Why? That's why I want to hear from you. Why? So there's, you know, a couple of good, you know, people. There's a number of, you know, there's two young ladies. They say goes ego, ignorance. So I was wondering, maybe between there's something else before ignorance. Maybe there's something else. I just want to hear from you. So before I say,
For me personally, my anger, it tends to come from control. I try to control situations, control mm-hmm. outcomes. You know, I have to stay in the present, basically. You know, I can't really, I'll get angry. It's fear. You know, it's trying to explain. Like I heard people saying, explaining things to others and them not being able to understand it. So when that happens to me, it's just a lack of understanding. You know, it's not something I can control. I can only control what I feel. You know, now if I try to control the situation and try to almost like force the person to make, you know, understand what I'm trying to explain to him, then I'm controlling the situation. That's when I can start getting, you know, that emotion of anger. But if I stay in the present moment, thinking now, this very second, then I'm okay. You know, I can learn to manage the situation a little better without having to anticipate those outcomes.
I'm thinking of it more like it's a personalized learned behavior. Like when if somebody comes in the room and they turn the light on and I see them walking into the room and I'm already thinking, oh, he's going to make me upset because he's going to leave the light on. And then you're feeding it. You're feeding it with your own thoughts. And when you feed it with your own thoughts before something even happens, then you're letting your learned behaviors of what's happened in the past control the outcome. But next time he walks into the room, if you think, oh, he's here, I'm so glad he's here, and he's turning on the light, I hope he makes me a cake. you turn the learned behavior around, then you can control that anger and keep better thoughts on top of that.
Mm-hmm. I notice that mine comes from attachment. When I grew up, I had nothing. We were very poor. So now when I have things, I want to keep them. And I have a big attachment to them, and I've noticed that a lot lately, because I have teenagers come in to my house and just take everything, and it stresses me out, because I have to sit there and say, let it go, it's just stuff, but it's really hard, and I get angry because, you know, it's mine. It's that ego wanting to hold on to these things.
I think piggybacking onto that, I'd like to quote the noted philosopher Sting, who says, we're spirits in a material world, and that we need material things, and that's samsara, and we're raised by imperfect people to be imperfect children, and children are really egocentric, and if you don't get things, the material things you need, like food or shelter, or money, security, or love, then you just repeat the cycle, and it just raises the anger. And I think we just have anger because it's in our nature. It's in samsara. So says Sting.
I'm new to Buddhism, and I come from a background in environmental science and evolution. And to me, anger was something, fear and anger were things we developed for survival. If you're not afraid of the bear, you're going to get eaten by the bear. If you don't fight the bear, if it attacks, you're more likely to get eaten by the bear. And so I think these things started as survival techniques, but we've moved beyond those needs for survival, but we still have them learned from our parents, who teaches anger. That's very common in domestic abuse situations. where domestic abuse is learned from the parent and then the child acts it out unless we change it. And I think that's where Buddhism is so wonderful for us, because it's helping us to unlearn these things that have been practically hardwired into us as the animals that we started as.
I was going to say also that it's the ego and our attachment to this life and us, the identity of me being, well, for me, Dvalka. So how dare such and such do that to me? You know, self-importance and holding on to this life, this identity, and not thinking about the future. And it's also, I think, a habitual thing that we've watched our parents do it, and we've learned it, and we've practiced it for whatever situation, and it's just a habit that we now do as a way of handling a situation. And and I do think the ego has a huge huge effect on the anger. I don't think sometimes we don't think first, we don't take that step back and say, oh, and look at a situation. We let the ego and our self-importance take over and respond without thinking.
I just wanted to add to what that lady said over there. I read a book by an FBI agent called The Gift of Fear, and it was ingrained into us. Every woman previous to an assault had a feeling that something was wrong, but in this society she chose to ignore that. And it was 10 times out of 10 that this happened. So sometimes it is a survival instinct, and we just, you know, read it the wrong way.
Yeah, I was just want to add something, because I agree with the attachment and control, but also it could be also expectation, where like a predisposition of you expect something to be a certain way. So, and that comes hand in hand with the attachment, because you expect to be something to happen, and it, when it doesn't, you feel that you lost the control of that hope or whatever was going on with you, so then you become angry. Mm-hmm. So the coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Excuse me, I want to say a few words now, the lady. Most of the people who have been in the situations, they know, felt like they are like overwhelmed by, you know, as a tragedy, you know, like, we plan things, you know, we have ideas of what's going to be, looks like, you know, that's how I'm going to enjoy, then all of a sudden everything's falling apart, you don't know why, you know, that's all the friends become tunes to you, all the friends, they, you think they're your friend, they're tunes against you, you have no idea why, you know, there's so many, like, faith. We can't fix everything. So, anyway, so very, very sorry to hear, but, you know, like, even this age, you know, a lot of people have been in the same situation, you know. So, time-wise, I think it's not good to think, even though, you know, it's like feeling overwhelming, you know, what's happened. At the time-wise, it's not good to think something negative. It's very, very important to think something positive as much as you can. So, they're not going to change the situation, what happens, but at least you have the peace of mind in this present moment. You know, it's hard, you know, like, see, Yeah, you need whatever it requires. You need to maybe exercise, you know, maybe like walking, taking long walk. So what I'm, the reason I'm saying that, you know, like sometimes when things feel overwhelmed, you can't really talk about meditation. You can't talk about spiritual practice. You know, you just need some break. You know, so from information, you just know, just to whatever ways you can enjoy a little bit, taking long walk in the woods, just looking at the trees, looking at the sunset, you know. So blessing may come in all different ways, you know, so we never know. So it's very, very time-wise, very, very important to think, you to think something positive, okay, it's positive. Then also I think it's good to look at, slowly, slowly, it will change, you know, slowly, slowly, not right away, slowly, slowly, it'll take time, could be take like years, maybe number of years, you know, then slowly, slowly, you know, it will change if you think something positive, not right away. So that's, I just want to, you know, share with you that.
Would it be good to practice after that, if you're going to practice
like meditation, would it be good to practice after you take a break and think of some gratitude and then you can practice after that?
Yeah, I know. There is, you know, certain practice dedicated for that. When we feel like difficult things like pouring down on like rain, what do you do? There is practice. But you know, like sometimes it's, at that moment it's hard to hear. Even though there's practice there, there's no energy left to do any practice, you know. So that's why, you know, last time that we discussed about that, what we do as a human when things go wrong, is that is possible that we can think something positive. You know, you are saying in English, like every cloud has silver lining. What that really means, you know. So like, yeah, there is practice. If you are interested, you can talk to the nun. So that practice, you know, awareness night, we do that practice together. So when you feel overwhelmed, everything like every difficulty, like pouring down like rain, it's not just one drop of rain, it's like pouring down like rain, every direction. What do you do? There is practice, there is particular practice there, you know. And not just that, you know, so we need to ask the young gentleman here, he said, when you teach somebody, you don't just focus there, no, that's the problem. We just focus. It's better to like sit back, look from the bigger point of view. Maybe there's so much going on than just not that person's finding keyboard. You know, you don't just look at that person, okay, how come that you can't find keyboard? I pointed you more than 100 times, you're still looking here. I say, it's here, why are you looking here? You know, it's not, just like every situation, the His Holiness Dalai Lama says, you know, look from the distance, not just like that, you know, then you cannot see. Just, you know, sit back like me and squirrel. Need to stop, then, you know, rethink, is it worth it to sacrifice my peace of mind for that? I don't think my peace of mind worth more than that. So now need to sit back and look at from the bigger pictures, huh? So there's practice there, and there's also practice called Tonglen, giving and taking practice, Tonglen practice. You can visualize yourself in front of you, and you can do that practice out of compassion, taking, whatever you're feeling, some kind of pain. Yeah, yourself, yeah, Tonglen. You visualize yourself and, you know, do it to take all the problems out of compassion. Oh, this ego, the ego, self-centered ego, that needs to go. That needs to go. So, there's only a few minutes left, so then I would like to say a few words. That lady here, she said, like, you know, like, it's almost like between ignorance that's like desire or attachment, whatever you call it, desire attachment. So we are born with desire. It's not like that somebody gives us desire. No? It's like we are born with desire. We have desire, right? It's not positive, it's not negative, we have desire. No? So that's why things get complicated. You know? Now, unfortunately, desire is not something you can take it like that, you know? If it's like that, you can just throw it out. It's not like that. It's part of life, desire. Two types of desire. Desire to want something. Desire to not want something. You know? Or I want, when Gijun Sambo come into the room, I want to turn up light before he leaves. That's what I want. That's not good. That's not happening. When it's not happening, then you get irritated, then you get upset. Then you feel like to, from now on, don't you ever like educate, you know, educate him. Next time, no progress. What do you do? Is it easier to turn off the light by yourself, or maybe try to spend like 30 minutes to educate him, tell him he's not going to be happy to hear. So like that. So desire. There's a desire to want something. Then some kind of interruption is taking place between the desire. So then we get upset. So what we can do now, you know, open mind. Open mind. Like flexible mind, open mind. So things may know God maybe in my way. We can't just, you know, uptight. Open mind, flexible. Flexible mind. And you know, unfortunately there's no one answer. It requires so much understanding. Things are changing, constantly changing. Why? Because it's the nature of impermanent. Things change, people change, fashion change. Fashion? Fashion, how is the fashion? Fashion change. Long time ago, that long pant has a pant that like goes like...
Bell bottom.
Like, that's a wow, that's like something that you really want to get one. So now, if somebody give you, you don't want that. Doesn't look good. It used to be loose, not just good, very good. Looks wonderful. It's something that you admire. So now, if somebody gives you, you don't want that. Mm-hmm. So everything changed, the fashion, people do, it's all projected. It's all projected by mind. We label, we become so serious, and we become so uptight, we don't learn how to be flexible, open-minded. So, desire is part of life, that we have desire. So, now having open mind, flexible mind, that's something we can build. So then down the road, of course, you can eliminate desire, but that's much more difficult task than having open mind, flexible mind, much easier. Flexible mind. So, unfortunately, there's no one answer. Need to understand why things are happening, why people are angry, and like law of causality, impermanent, ego, self-centered ego. What's ego? Ego that's very attached to self. What is self? Do you have any idea how you find self? Just know that two ladies called ignorance. When they say ignorance, I'm thinking that's like self-grasping mind. The mind that grasps on the self is not there. From the emptiness point of view, that self is exaggerated. Super exaggerated, you know? Then from there's I, then from there's my. The I is not very clear. That's what we call ignorance, that causes all this, problems. So then, there's certain set of teaching called emptiness. How to find self. That's the root of all the complications that we face. You face, I face, everyone, in the samsara, that face the problem because of the self-grasping mind, the mind that grasps very tight on self, that self is superimposed. So then when you meditate, when you read about emptiness, then it will teach you how to find the self. This is the body, this is not the body. That's what I used to think, oh, that's my body, it's the me. That's not my body. But it's level on the body, on the aggregate, you label John. But I was not John when I was born, I was just baby. No name, I was called John, then after that I become John. It's not like you become right from the beginning, you become John. It's not like that. Somebody called John. So then, talk about that, then you become attached to the level. So, this room used to be fish pro.
Fish pro.
Huh? Fish pro. They used to sell fish. That's called fish pro. Then we bought this building, then we level. There's a Kadamba center. Then people, they come, they call Kadamba. It does not like that. Everything, you know, like that, we just level. So, and we are caught up, we are so much caught up with the level, we cannot see through, we cannot go beyond that. We are so caught up with that level. So then you know, all this negative mindset, you know, so then after one lead to another, you know, then it's all complications. So that fundamentally it leads to, that's very good ignorance. Therefore, when you go outside, that's called life, wheel of life. It's painting there outside. In the center, there's a wheel. And then within the center, there's pig, rooster, snake. It's called three forces. These, because of them, not because of you, because of that, all these cycles. Why? That's why the cycling cycles. Because of these three things. Ignorance. Pig symbolized ignorance. The rooster symbolized attachment. The snake symbolized anger. This is in the middle of the wheel of life. It's not outside of life, it's in the middle. That's why all this is happening like that. Not because you are doing something wrong, not because of that. So, yeah, so I'll stop. Yeah, time is over. And thank you very much, each one of your contributions, thank you very much. Huh? Yeah.
In the goal book, turn to page, I think it's 246. So let's read the dedication from the book that Geshe-la was quoting from, Master Shantideva's Bodhi Karyavatara. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re so ha.
Good morning. I'm Donna, and I have just a couple of really brief announcements, and then Kim has a very important announcement for you. First of all, you'll see that we have a beautiful offering table here set in front of our altar of 21 Taras, and we had a 21 Taras practice last night, and the offerings need to be taken down, so anybody who would like to stay and help with that, that would be greatly appreciated. I also, she doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I want to introduce, we have a visiting nun with us for a few weeks. Venerable Joel Carr is here from Australia. She works for Liberation Prison Project, and she's here helping the Liberation Prison Project office here in the Raleigh area. So please welcome Joel Carr. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kim, and I have the honor of announcing to you that we are having the special, special, special privilege of having the teacher, our spiritual teacher, who is the head of our center and of 160 centers around the world, to come here to give a teaching here, right here. on August 13th, and he's on his way to a retreat in the mountains, which you may have heard about. But before that happens, and for those of you who may not be able to go to the retreat, he will be here teaching on Saturday, August 13th. So first of all, I wanted to announce that it's in the bulletin. If you happen to have one of those, you can read about it in there. And I have the honor of saying that next Sunday we will be allowing for anybody who would like to help in making that happen and gaining special merit for being part of the team that helps him to give us this teaching. You will have the opportunity to sign up for volunteers, and my team will be out in the lobby next week. I'm at Big Table, and we'll be talking with everybody who wants to do that. So I hope that you think about that this week, and I hope that you are able to come. And also this week, we have a newcomers orientation that will be in the back of the Gampa with a fellow named Steve.
Thank you, Kim. Good morning, I'm Mike. As part of our 25th anniversary celebrations of Kadampa Center. This week's installment will celebrate, Independence Day for so many, for America on the 4th, for Canada on the 1st, for France on the 14th, for Bastille Day. And given that it is the month of independence, we decided at Kadampa Center to celebrate what Buddhists would call Interdependence Day. And according to the dictionary, the circular definition says the quality or condition of being interdependent. Well, that's useless. It is essentially mutual reliance on one another. And Buddhism, of course, teaches us that the way that the self and phenomena come into existence in dependence upon one, the causes and conditions, of course, karma, as we say. Secondly, their parts or aggregates. And thirdly, most subtly, what the mind imputes upon these things, the labels and projections on these things. This is certainly a lot. It's a mouthful, and its meaning is key to the very core of our beliefs as Buddhists. One example is inside and outside. Outside only exists in relation to inside, and similarly inside only exists in relation to having the outside from which to know it. And another example would be what is known as chaos theory. Chaos theory, does anyone know what chaos theory refers to? Anyone got a clue about chaos theory? Come to my house, you'll find out what it... No. Right, it's the butterfly effect, right? It's the butterfly effect. Oh, wait a minute. And it's the idea that, you know, small causes can have very, very large effects in general. And I remember hearing about this way back in school of cause and effect and how one thing leads to the next. And it never leaves my mind how these things actually do manifest themselves every day in our lives.
Oh, wait. I've always wanted to go to the Cordon Bleu in Paris. I'm going to go set it up right now, yes!
I'm ready for that 3-month retreat. So I'm totally going to Copan Monastery. See ya.
Well, I always wanted to be a conservation biologist, and I think I'm going to work and observe the habitat of monarch butterflies. Y'all take care.
Kelun Papillon, that was some butterfly. And seriously, of course, what interdependence means is reminiscent of Mother Teresa's words, quote, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. We. I'm not speaking French again. We. What does we mean? As John Lennon used it in his lyrics, I am you as you are me and we are all together. Music always seems to speak when words are inadequate. Music always does and speaks loudly to me. One great, fantastic way that we can show that we truly do belong to each other through this banner. Geshe La has always told us that the center belongs to us, all of us, and it's about the people here. And it took a very dedicated group of people with a whole lot of joyful effort and aspiration and inspiration to start this center 25 years ago. And one by one, we all seem to have found ourselves walking through these doors and belonging to some extent or other. And we ask you today, as you are all part of it, for being here. The causes and effects that brought us all here this morning are to be a cause of rejoicing. And when you leave the Gompa this morning, please take the time to feel free to sign this banner. Sign the banner for when you joined our Kadampa family. And the banner will be displayed to remind us of our connections to each other. Happy Interdependence Day.
Thank you.